Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry I didn't make it last week. I did everything I could possibly do to try to be here, but what I didn't know 2 weeks ago when I was standing up here, I had pneumonia. No idea. I mean, I knew something was awry, but didn't know it was pneumonia, and I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go into this lesson about some things that happened along the way. But I was so excited to want to be here last week to present this word because of just this word is go and tell. It's a word that I could have easily just put out there last week and you understand it immediately. But I just need to tell you some things that happened along the way to lead up to this word. But God is so good. He's so good. So I'll tell this story right away. So when we left here 2 weeks ago, I just felt really crummy. It was actually, I didn't realize how difficult it was to give that message. I didn't know what kind of shape I was in. But when we left here, Connie says, "You're going to the urgent care." I was like, "I'm not going to the urgent care." I had been to my doctor the day after Christmas, and I saw a doctor, and they missed, either I didn't have pneumonia at that time or they missed it, but anyway, I was like, I'm not going to the doctor, and I'm not going to the urgent care. And so as the day is going on, she found out like how late I could wait until the last possible minute. I said, well, let's wait until the last possible, and if I'm not feeling any better. So we ended up at urgent care, and which was the wrong place for me. So I'm in urgent care, and they came in, and they did a COVID test on me, and they left the room, and I'm sitting there on this very high seat, and I start feeling very warm, and I thought, you're going to pass out, get to the floor. Then, sure enough, I passed out. Ended up on the floor, woke up on the floor, nobody had come back. Woke up on the floor and I thought, I wonder if I can get up. Got up, back in my seat. I wonder if I should tell somebody. I just kind of sat there waiting for somebody to come back in the room because I was fine. I mean, I passed out, but I was fine. The lady comes in. It wasn't the same lady, and she starts telling me about some medicine they're going to give me. You know, I had no diagnosis of pneumonia. You know, they were just going to give me some medicine and send me home, I'm pretty sure. I said, I probably need to tell you something. I passed out, and I woke up on the floor and got back up at my seat. Oh, you need to go to the emergency room. So I ended up in the emergency room. That's where they found the diagnosis. But I told Connie, and I've told several people, I am absolutely, absolutely convinced Holy Spirit knocked me out. I am absolutely convinced of it. The Holy Spirit knocked me out to get me to where I needed to be because I'd have been sent home with some medicine and it had been the wrong thing. And I'm so absolutely convinced that in those moments, Holy Spirit told me ahead of time, get to the floor. I asked them in the emergency room, any idea why I passed out? No, not any of these tests going to show what? No. I know why I passed out. Holy Spirit is that good. Now, again, I'm of the mind, Holy Spirit, why don't you just heal me? Why don't you just heal me? Just send me home and I'm all well. But there's testimonies along the way. And so I wanted to tell that one right from the start. But this word, this word was so pressing on my mind the last 3 weeks of the year. I had heard sometime in December the word go, and I thought, well, it's got to be more than just go, because if I say go, everybody will just leave. And I knew there was more, but I just heard one day I was driving the car, just go and tell. And the verse I'm gonna reference for this, so Jesus and his disciples were, this is in Luke, they were ministering, they were doing their thing, and they were in this boat this one day, and a storm came up, and Jesus calms the storm, And then they head across the lake to to another place. And they're getting out of the boat. And as they were getting out of the boat, this man greets them on the shore. And the scripture said that he's demon possessed. He's filled with demons. And so he sees Jesus and just screams out, "Jesus, what do you want from me?" I mean, Jesus just showing up on the scene, and as a man just filled with darkness, somehow recognizes the Savior of the world and is threatened by that in some way. And so Jesus says, "What's your name? What's your name?" And of course, the man didn't answer. The demons inside of him answered, "Legion," or something like that. I mean, I don't know what it sounded like. But this whole encounter takes place, and there's these pigs on a hillside, and we the account. Jesus casts the legion of demons out of him into the pigs. The pigs run into the water and are drowned. So we're going to pick up the account here in Luke. It says, "When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with them, but Jesus sent him away saying, 'Return home and tell how much God has done for you.' So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." And so we see this just really powerful example of a man who had darkness, just filled with darkness, and has an encounter with Jesus. And he's the one that initiates the conversation. "What do you want from me, Jesus?" And then Jesus does his thing and says, "Go home and tell what God has done for you. Go home and tell what God has done for you." And that is the simplistic summary of this message and this assignment for us this year is tell people what God has done for you. Tell them. Go somewhere. Tell them. I don't know what the go means. You're going to get assignments. Somebody in class already this morning was saying how the word go, just go to this, go to that, go to Remnant, go to whatever the event is, because you're going to grow. You're going to learn. Your faith is going to be stretched by going. I don't know what all that means for each one of us, but Holy Spirit's going to show us, and we'll get to a little more of that in a minute. So I was looking at another version of this account in Mark. The Mark version of this account says, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." That struck me because we don't want to ever, 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 ever forget about his mercy. Don't ever, ever forget about the mercy he has had on you. Mercy he's had on me. We can sometimes get religious about things and forget about the mercy, the grace that he has had on us. And when this account pointed that out, it just caught my attention. Tell how much he's had mercy on you. So as we're going and we're telling, don't forget about the mercy part. Don't forget about the mercy part. It says, "So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and the people were amazed." The people were amazed. Don't miss that part either. As you tell your story, as you tell what Jesus has done for you, there's someone that's going to be amazed at what he's done for you as you open your mouth and tell it. I was thinking about this word. It's such a simple word, and I was thinking about somebody like the Sloanes or somebody like Fran, who's not here today, or somebody like Freeman. It's, these people tell about Jesus all the time. They go and tell all the time. So this word may not resonate as strongly because they do it. They do it all the time. But for many of us, it's an easy word. It's a simple word, but it may not be easy. It may be challenging. You may have to be intentional at times as the Lord just puts things on your mind and assignments on your mind. So I had said this to you in my message on the gift of salvation. I had given you this example of the woman who was at the well. And Jesus met her at the well, and he asks her for water, and you know, and she says, "Well, if you knew who you were, you know, you can't ask me. You know, you're a Jew. I can't do that." And he was like, "What? But there's a gift here for you," and we know the whole account. And so he ends up telling her all about her life, and so she goes away. She goes away and she tells everybody. And I told you when I shared that message, I said, "There's a clue in here. There's a clue in here about this word for 2024, and here was the clue right here. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town, and she said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." And so she had this encounter with Jesus at the well, and she was compelled to just go and tell everybody about this encounter that she had with Jesus. And people came out of all corners of the community to come and see who this person was. And so all of this was just brewing in me, and I had all these verses that were coming together, that this assignment of going and telling. And then 2 weeks ago today, we had this word that was given to us from Mike Glick. And I said that day, I said, "Man, when you hear the word, you're going to, the relevance of this word we're hearing today to this word that we're going to be hearing in a few weeks is so important." And again, we experienced it again today. And here's what Mike's word said, and there's copies of it, I believe, out there somewhere for you if you want to have a copy of this word. This is what Mike said on December 31st. Mike isn't here today, but they usually sit right over here, and he shared this. He said, "The Lord would say today that my glory is in this place, and it shall come even greater as you continue to live in me and pray and praise me and worship me, says God. The brightness of my glory shall go forth from this place, and you shall be carriers of my glory to other places, says God. Know that I am doing this, and my word is sure. My word is sure. It shall not come back to me void. It shall accomplish that which I have sent it to do. Know that my glory is in this place, and you shall be carriers, and you shall go forth, and people will see it on you. And they'll wonder, and they'll say, 'What is this thing that we see?' You will respond with my word. I will put the word of God in your mouth, says God. Know that I shall do it, and I shall accomplish this, says God." And man, when I heard that word, knowing what this assignment was to go and tell, and he was preparing us as he always does. He always is preparing us in advance for what he has for us. But these times of gathering and worship are not just filling time. They are not just something we do at the beginning of a service. He is doing something as we're gathering here, and he's putting his glory in us. Yeshua, Yeshua. There's purpose in that because he's filling us, he's equipping us to go and tell. He says, "You'll be carriers of my glory." Well, as you're carriers of his glory, you're going to be carriers of his word to share with someone who needs to hear your story, who needs to hear what you have to say. He will lead this. You don't have to conjure something up. You don't have to manufacture anything. Please don't. Don't try to manufacture something. Don't try to create something. But he will give it. He will open those doors. He will make the provisions for that to happen. We don't have to do anything except obey as he's leading us. His Holy Spirit gives us a nudge. And pay attention to those nudges. Those nudges are so important. Are so important. He is stirring things in us so richly and so profoundly that when you hear something, act on it. Act on it. Be responsive. I was thinking, as I was preparing for this, I saw where Trishel and Trevor had gone to Remnant a couple weeks ago. And the day after Remnant, Trishel posts on Facebook just about her relationship with Jesus and how she was going to be vocal about it and she was going to speak it forth. I thought, that's our word, sister. That's our word, sister. When you have an experience, when you have something that is so profoundly affects you, respond, speak it out, speak it out, speak it out. In the middle of this, so I saw him on TV last night in the Browns Texans game, but I'd seen him in the playoff game, and I don't remember now who the Texans played in their playoff game. But C.J. Stroud, some of you are very familiar with C.J. Stroud. He was a quarterback for Ohio State back in the day, and he always testified back in those days about his relationship with Jesus. And at the end of that playoff game, or that final game of the season, he was being interviewed on ESPN, and he's always, the very first thing he ever says is, "All glory goes to my Savior Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And you know, and I know that's said a lot in public spotlights in situations, and you wonder, is that real or not? For C.J. Stroud, it's real. Anybody that's followed his career knows he's only 22 years old, and he's a young man who loves Jesus. But he was in a follow-up interview with sports reporter's name is. Scott is his first name on ESPN. But he was kind of pressing him a little further. He says, "I know about your faith, and I know that you're strong about that. But like when you're out on the field and all this is unfolding, when you're out on the field, what, you know, so what goes through your mind?" And C.J. Stroud turns it all around and says, "It's my Savior Jesus Christ that equips me to do whatever I do out there, and I'm just a vessel. And he was absolutely, absolutely committed to just going and telling in a very public spotlight. You know, I'm a Browns fan, so I was rooting for the Browns yesterday, but part of me was like, this young man has a testimony, and he's going to tell his testimony. You know, whether he wins or loses, he's going to tell his testimony. But I kind of want him to win. I kind of want him to win, because this young man's going to keep sharing about Jesus. He's going to go and tell. He's going to go and tell. And that's our assignment. That's our assignment. And again, our time of worship is relevant to us fulfilling that assignment. So when we're coming in here, I want to really want to encourage every one of us. You know, maybe you're not a singer. Maybe you're not, you know, you don't have to be a singer to worship. So in Colossians, we read this. God has given me the responsibility. This is Paul speaking. This is from the New Living Translation. God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, Paul says, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Christ lives in you. So when we ended up in the emergency room, we had this amazing nurse. Her name was Mary Grace. And of course we got to talking, and she found out I was a pastor. And as we were talking, she said, I like to tell people, he said, "Have you seen the movie Elf?" And I'm pretty sure I've seen the movie Elf. This is the Will Ferrell movie where he plays this elf. And she says, "I like to tell this story and then relate it to my Savior Jesus." This is our nurse. And she says, "I know you guys know Jesus, so I know you'll get this. But there's this scene in this movie where Elf, Will Ferrell's character, is being given a tour by a manager of a department store, you know, showing him the ropes of what is, you know, where he's going to be doing what he's doing. And then the store manager says, "And Santa's going to be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. And Will Ferrell's like, "Santa! Santa, here, I know him, Santa's coming." And she says, "And I like to relay that, I know Jesus, and Jesus is coming. I know Jesus, and Jesus is coming." And boy, she's telling me this, I'm knowing our word for this year, and I'm thinking, this just so ties. We know Jesus. He lives inside of us, and He's coming. And we have a message to tell. We have a message to tell. Yes, he's coming. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he forgave me. Yes, he did this. Yes, he did that. Yes, he did the other. And I wanted so badly to be here last week to say this. It just killed me. It just killed me to know that I wasn't going to be here. But it didn't kill me. I'm still alive. Yeah. But here, Lord passes me out of an urgent care so I can get to an emergency room where I can get the right diagnosis, but I also get to meet a wonderful nurse named Mary Grace who tells this account of a simple snippet from a movie that relates to this very word. Jesus says this, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must be preached to all the nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. That's a reminder of, again, Mike Glick's word for us, that my glory is in this place. My glory is in this place for a purpose, for a purpose, for a purpose. We are not just filling time. We are not just going through motions. We are not just trying to conjure something up. The Lord is doing a work in here, and it's tangible and it's purposeful. And so, you know, I don't know how many of us are going to get arrested. It could happen. Maybe not today, but down the road, in some setting where we're not allowed to say what we're saying. But don't worry about what you say, because Holy Spirit, my glory is on you. My glory is on you. And I will give you what to say when you need to say it. But you need to be willing to go and tell. And that's where this starts, is a willingness to say, yes, I want to be that vessel. I want to be that vessel to say what Jesus has done for me. First Peter 3:15, 16, in your hearts revere Christ Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. See, you have hope. There's a lot of people don't have hope. There's a lot of people that you encounter in your everyday life, maybe at a store, maybe at your child's school. Maybe you're in your neighborhood. Maybe you're in your own home. You have something to tell. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. There's a childlikeness about this word. When I first heard go and tell, my first thought was show and tell. I don't know, do they still do show and tell in school? Is that something they still do? Anybody know? Sometimes, yeah. So I remember show and tell. I loved show and tell. It's funny, when my grandson was running up here and he fell and tripped, and he was carrying 5 cars. I didn't tell him, but I had 4 cars in my pocket. Not for him. These were mine from my childhood. 4 Matchbox cars. There's a little ambulance, a little ice cream truck, a fire truck, and I think that's an Opel, an old Opel. And you know how I know they're mine? Because when I went to show and tell, I took them to show and tell, and my mom put red nail polish on the bottom of them. And I got to thinking about that. They were marked. They were marked identifiers that they belonged to me. I think it's cool. I still have them. I have a whole bunch more. But I thought it was cool. My grandson was running up here with cars in his hand, and I have cars in my pocket. And we play cars together a lot. And Connie will look at them, and he'll line them up, you know, and she'll say, "Is that normal?" And I was like, "I don't know if it's normal or no, but I did it." But they're marked. So in Ephesians, we read these words, and it says, "In him we were chosen." Get that. In him you were chosen. You. Personalize that. Not just them, but you. Not just Pastor Mark or Pastor Jeff or Pastor Shane or Pastor Ben or some other person, Gary Sloan or Ernie or pick whoever you were, you know, maybe holding. You were chosen. Yes, you. Wayne's son, you were chosen. According to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, for his praise. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For his glory. Not for ourselves, for his glory. But you were marked. And I believe every single time we come in here and we worship and he pours out his Spirit upon us, and we've been talking about these experiences with him week by week. And I think sometimes we just take it for granted at times. We just assume. But he's doing something. He's marking us. He's giving us more of himself to mark us and then to equip us to go and tell. And yes, this is a very simple, easy to understand word. It's harder to do. Can be harder to do. But the only thing that makes us hard is sometimes us. Assignment. Sometime this week and every week. It's funny, as I was thinking about this, and I shared this in Open Door class today, it's kind of amazing this word has not been a word for us. Because Pastor Don was such an advocate of telling your story. If you were ever in a class of his, tell your story. Tell your story. Your story is your story. Only you can tell the story that Jesus has done for you. And so this assignment, write out a page or more of all that Jesus has done for you. Be both historic and current. What I mean by that is, his work in me began when I was 20 years old in college, but it didn't stop there. That's where it began. That's where I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He said, "Lord, come and live in me. I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior." But so much has happened in all the years since then. So be both historic and current. So what I mean, again, what's he doing? What did he do back then? What's he doing now? What's he done in between? Make notes. Write a whole journal if you have to. Write a whole notebook if you have to. Put it in a place where you can review it often this year. Periodically or even daily, pray over the words you wrote, being sure to add thankfulness for what he has done. Ask for direction and revelation on when, where, and with whom to share. Add to it as the work in you continues. Because I believe this is going to be a recurring thing. There's going to be divine appointments, opportunities all around us. Some of you right now, I know, can think of, I need to go and tell this person. And don't miss this. The go part of this word may require something of some of you. You may have to go and drive a distance. Maybe some of you will have to get on an airplane. Yay, Judy's like, yay, I'll do that. To go tell someone. Because the Holy Spirit has put such a pressing assignment on you that somebody needs to hear something you have to say. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear stop you. In fact, I said this in class, and I think it came through. I forget where we had a lot of interaction in class to this word. And there was an immediacy. When you get an assignment, there's an immediacy to responding. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't use the, I've got to pray about that a little bit more. And again, I'm a big advocate of prayer. Pray over everything. But as he gives you an assignment, and you know that it's scaring the dickens out of you, just make a plan to do it. Make a plan to do it. Make a plan to do it. Trust in the glory that the Lord has put in you. He'll do that work. My glory is in this place for you to be a carrier, for you to be a carrier of my word. That's what the word said. And so when you go, you can go in a confidence and assurance and a peace and a rest. Because I think one of the things in that word was continue to rest in me and worship me and spend time with me. And there was a little bit of an introduction to that word of that he's responding to our hanging out with him. He's responding to our worship of him. He's responding. He loves that. He loves that so much. But he's saying, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to put things in you. I'm going to ask you to do some things that you can trust that I've given you what you need to do it. I have no idea what all he has in mind for this word. Just like a year ago, I had no idea when I said invite the stranger to 3 weeks later. Building would be inundated with strangers. But I know him. You know him. That should excite every one of us. That alone should be such a drive. We know Jesus. He's alive in us. In a lost and dying world. So go and tell. Go and tell. My encouragement as you do this, document what happens. Document some of these things. Not to keep record of, oh, I did this and I did that. If ego is any way involved in any of it, forget about it. Don't even do it. But the documentation is to give him glory. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. I'll tell you what, the warfare was real when I couldn't be here, when I couldn't share this word. I was like, maybe it's the wrong word. Blah, 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 blah. All these things run through your mind. And God's so good. I mean, he's so good. And I've been able to throw that stuff off pretty quickly. But the warfare is very real when you have a plan, and I like to have my plans and my ducks in a row. And when it doesn't work out that way, I'm like, ugh. I'm so thankful, though. I'm so thankful for a team around here that, again, I don't have to think about a thing. if I have to step away for a minute. And I'm so thankful. You know, Shane, you know, Shane was supposed to initially be usually up the first week of the year anyway. But I said, this year I have the word already. It's already a whole week into the year. I want to give it right away. And that didn't happen that way. Go figure. Yeah, God's always good. He's always good. He's always good. Let's stand. Any part of this assignment, make lists. Make some lists. Who do I need to tell? Who's on my mind? Who do I have a burden for? Revisit the list. Add to the list. Pray over the list. When Mike Glick gave that word, Pastor Mark, at the end of worship, called Mike down to reiterate it because it was so important. And one of the things Pastor Mark said is, as he called him down to reiterate the word, he said, this is going to be a year of us speaking the word. It's going to be a year of us speaking. He was just relating the truth of this word that Mike gave. And again, at the time, Mark did not know our word. It's going to be a year of us speaking the word, going and telling, going and telling, going and telling. When I spoke the gift of salvation message Christmas Sunday, I gave an assignment that week. I said, just think a little bit about the gift that you've been given. And Pastor Shane actually did that. He spent some time just thinking about the gift that has been given to him and his life in Christ. And he shared it on Facebook. And I'm so appreciative. So appreciative that when we give these assignments, I have to absolutely believe that God orchestrates this. And he has purposes in mind. And we could very easily just come in here and hear messages and never apply it. Oh, that was a good message. That was inspiring. But never apply it and never do anything with it. Never. That's not us. It's never really been us. We have a hungry, teachable, desiring to grow people. And I don't know what all this looks like for 2024, but I believe the Lord's going to use the word of your testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the word of your testimony is going to affect someone in some setting, and it may not be on the spot, it may not be immediate, it may not be till months later, years later, however long we're here. I don't think it's going to be that long, but I don't know. Jesus is coming. And we know him. But not everybody does. We have loved ones that don't. We have friends, neighbors, coworkers that don't, classmates. Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful for how you just use everything for your glory. You use an urgent care visit that I didn't even want to go to knock me out, to get me where I need to be, to meet a nurse who has an amazing testimony. Just to confirm a word. Just to confirm a word. So I pray for everybody in this room today, everybody within my hearing, that your hand will be on each one, just directing each one. Your glory is in this place to be a carrier. And so I thank you for all of the carriers in this room today, all of the carriers in this room today, of your word, of your love, of your power, of your grace, of your wisdom, of your instruction. And so I thank you for every vessel in this place that is going to be going and is going to be telling. It's going to be going and it's going to be telling. And it's going to be recurring. It's going to be recurring again and again and again. Because there's a whole lot of people who need to hear the truth about Jesus. So Lord, just use this, it's for your glory, only your glory. But use it to further your kingdom, the building of your kingdom, right here in this region and beyond. And we'll be sure to give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. If anybody needs prayer, if anybody, if this resonates with somebody, they just know they need just prayer covering to go and to tell, we want to do that. There's all kinds of people pray with you. Thank you.